And I'm joined right now by Cameron Salerno. He's a writer for the Sacramento Bee and covers the Sacramento Kings, and just got a chance to cover former Hawkeye and Prairie graduate Keegan Murray. Got a chance to see him up close. So, Cameron, us here in Cedar Rapids have seen Keegan play for, you know, last 5-6 years at Cedar Rapids Prairie and at the University of Iowa. Give me your honest first take of being able to watch him live. And I mean, I know it's NBA Summer League. You don't want to read too much into it, but he was named the MVP and he definitely showed why, for sure.
I was beyond impressed with what Keegan did during Summer League. I know, just like you said, I mean, it's hard to take away Summer League performances sometimes because there have been guys who have been high draft picks who go to Summer League and they do really well, and then they end up turning out to be just nothing but role players in the NBA. But all the stuff that Keegan did in Summer League, I think, is going to translate to the NBA, obviously, with having guys like De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis is really going to help Keegan, because Sabonis is going to be able to get Keegan involved. And I think that duo of him at the four and Sabonis at the five is going to be really fun to watch. So my initial first impression was I was impressed. There's a lot of stuff that he did that was fascinating. I think a big knock coming out of Iowa for him was his shot creation. He showed some flashes of it. And I mean, there obviously when he hit that clutch three against the Magic to send to overtime, that was a really cool moment. So I know a lot of people, I think, kind of started buying into the hype after that shot. But I mean, the stuff he did at the California Classic and in the Bay Area was really impressive too.
Yeah, I know. Can you take me through why Sacramento took him at number four and how they envision him being a part of this team?
Yeah, and I know going back to the draft and pre-draft, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I was a guy who I thought they were going to draft Jaden Ivey just because I thought Jaden Ivey was the best player on the board at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people bought into that hype, and I mean, I think I did too, but it's clear that after talking to Monty McNair on draft night that they had a clear vision for Murray and they thought he was the best player on the board. And I honestly truly believe even if one of the guys fell, they were going to pick Murray at four, just because just when you hear McNair talk about him, he was just giving so many glowing quotes. And I even asked McNair at the press conference, how do you evaluate a prospect when you have the number four pick? I know the Kings have had the ninth pick last year, and then I think they have the 12th pick in 2020. And so it's definitely a different process because guys are going to fall to you. I mean, that's just how the lottery is, and that's how the NBA draft works. Guys fall. And with the Kings, I mean, I think everyone kind of knew who the top three picks were going to be in some order. Obviously, there was some shakeup on draft night where the Magic took Paolo at one and then kind of reversed the switch where – then the Rockets took Jabari Smith Jr. at three. But I really believe the Kings were set all along in taking Murray. I know there was a lot of talk, and I mean, like I said, I think I bought into a lot of people in Sacramento did too, about how there's potential trades on the horizon, how teams were trying to trade up to draft for Jaden Ivey, which I definitely think there could have been some smoke around that. I mean, who knows how legitimate that is. But I mean, I think a lot of people wanted to see them possibly get assets because if Detroit was set on taking Jaden Ivey, if the Kings were set on taking Keegan Murray, they could have done some sort of swap. I know a lot of people like Jeremy Grant, but he obviously got traded to the Portland Trailblazers a few days prior. And so, I mean, just reflecting on kind of what happened after the draft, I mean, the reports came out that Indiana kind of wanted to trade up to number four, but they wanted to draft Keegan Murray or Jaden Ivey even perhaps. But they were only going to offer maybe Chris Duarte, or I don't even know what else they were planning to offer. So it probably would have been something that wouldn't have helped the Kings. It wouldn't have been something worth their while. Then obviously, if they trade down, you take the gamble of someone taking Ivy or someone taking Murray as well. So I think they made the right call at the end of the day. I mean, it's easy to have draft takes right when it happens. I know a lot of people might be upset when the draft happened, the Kings took Murray. But I mean, if you ask all those fans now, I think they're going to be very happy with who they picked.
What were some, I know that I mentioned earlier, how much did he surprise you, but you talked about it a little bit, but what were some things that Keegan probably answered maybe on some questions that you guys, that maybe fans or you might've had, but he definitely answered them in the Summer League.
Well, I think the two biggest knocks on Keegan, I mean, not knocks, but people were saying is he's not very, I don't know. People said he's not fun to watch, which I think that's just kind of silly. Just in that one, right? But he showed flashes. I mean, he hit a clutch three, threw down dunk. He had some nice shots, and he was really efficient. I think that's what really impressed me the most about him. I mean, in his first summer league game, he went 10 for 14 from the field, and it was a very efficient 26 points. It wasn't shooting 30 shots and getting 26 points. It was very efficient. And so I think that's what really impressed me. And then the other thing, kind of like I mentioned earlier, is his shot creation. I think that's what's going to be the difference between him becoming a really good player in the NBA and becoming an all-star level player. I know a lot of people have said, and he even said himself, that he models his game after Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. And I put out a video side by side on Twitter a few days ago, just how, I mean, similar it is. I know it's kind of that basic between the legs dribble, step back, but I mean, him and Middleton are really similar. I know he models his game after him. They kind of had that similar upbringing where they've been kind of doubted. I know Middleton played in the D League when it was called the D League. Right. It got renamed the G League. So he's really been successful, and he's obviously an all-star, and he was the number two player on a championship team. So if Murray can live up to that hype and become a Chris Middleton type player, I think Kings fans should be ecstatic.
Well, with the Kings, I know that it's been a long drought for them, but how do they feel that Keegan can't, do they feel Keegan is a centerpiece in a way, or kind of a franchise changing player with how high they picked him? Or
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know a lot of people are kind of viewing him as that potential third option. I think that was the point I made pre-draft. I mean, the Kings should be trying to draft someone who could be that third guy, or even be that second guy who drops De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis down to that third guy. And I mean, if Keegan Murray plays like he does, he's going to be a guy who I honestly could see him leading rookies in scoring year one, just because of just the way he's efficient. And like I said, all the stuff that he did in the summer league is stuff that's going to translate to the NBA. I mean, shooting doesn't translate to the NBA, no matter if you're playing pickup, summer league, or in the NBA. I mean, he's a really efficient shooter, and I really like his form too. It's very clean. It's very efficient. It's very quick too. And so that's stuff that's going to really translate to the NBA. So kind of answering your question, I think Kings fans could view him as a potential third guy right now, right away. I mean, he could be that third option to Fox and Sabonis. And then as time goes on, and if he progresses his game like he should, then yeah, I think he can definitely become a centerpiece type player if he keeps progressing his game. Because I know a lot of people talked about ceiling pre-draft, but I mean, if he can live up to that Chris Middleton type hype where he becomes an all-star, then yeah, I think he definitely can become that type of player that can be a face of a franchise.
Well, I think you saw it, and I saw it too earlier on Twitter, that Mark Stein from ESPN is already predicting that, I think he says that Keegan Murray will be the NBA Rookie of the Year or something. I don't want to maybe misquote him, but when you hear that.
Yeah, it was Mark Spears who said it.
Mark Spears, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said today that the Kings are going to break the playoff drought and Keegan's going to win Rookie of the Year, which I think he's a really popular choice. And I think a lot of people, even pre-draft, thought that, just because he's probably the most pro-ready player. I mean, the situation I compare it to is Mac Jones when the 49ers were drafted. I know a lot of there's a lot of Kings and 49ers fans out here. I mean, Mac Jones coming out of Alabama was the most pro-ready player and the guy you can plug in right away, be a starter. And I think that's the same way with Keegan Murray. I mean, Keegan Murray's going to come in right away. He's going to start. I mean, I don't know if – I mean, obviously, I think all the top five picks are going to probably start from day one with Ivy probably being the number two guy in Detroit, and then obviously Chet and Jabari and Paulo starting day one. But I think Keegan Murray has the upside to win Rookie of the Year just because of how much he's going to be used. I know it's going to be Paulo and Keegan battling out the entire season, because a lot of those guys are still not a finished product like Chet. I mean, Chet is going to be, has a lot of potential to be really good, but he's going to take a few years to develop. So I think it's going to come down to Paulo and Keegan for that Rookie of the Year race. Mm-hmm. So it should be interesting to see what happens with it. I know Paul, I really like Paulo. I thought he was the best player in the draft. So it was kind of interesting to see the Magic switch up on draft night and take him. And it kind of added a little bit of an excitement to the night, because There wasn't a lot of trades.
Yeah. Cameron Salerno from the Sacramento Bee joining me right now on the Real Sports Hour, talking Keegan Murray and the Sacramento Kings. Cameron, I know I've asked you, you know, what impressed you about his play, but let's go, you know, beyond the play. What stands out about Keegan? It seems like a lot of people really, when they get to know him, what really seems to stand out is his he's humble about everything, and he's never really settles for anything. He always feels like he needs to get better no matter what.
Yeah, and I've been just really impressed with Keegan as the person. I mean, he just seems like he comes from a really good family. I've had the chance to speak with Kenyon, his dad, a few times over the last few weeks since he's been drafted. And, I mean, everyone is just raved about him. I know just it's easy to root for a guy like that who just kind of shuts up and works and has that chip on his shoulder where he was doubted his whole life, and now he's just working. I think that's how Keegan and his family view it. I mean, he wasn't that five-star recruit coming out of high school. I mean, he still had doubts, even though he was probably one of the best players in the country last season at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And so there's still people who believe that he was the wrong pick. And so I think that's why he's going to keep working hard. And yeah, I've been just impressed with him as the person, and also his family too, just really good people and just really kind. And I think Sacramento is going to embrace him. And if I know anything about Sacramento fans, because I've lived here my whole life, it's that no matter who you are on the Kings roster, if you're the 15th guy or you're the all-star, they're going to embrace you. I know Kings mm-hmm. fans are going to embrace Keegan just because he's an easy guy to root for. And he just has that personality where he doesn't get too high and he doesn't get too low. I know I talked to some Iowa beat writers after the draft, and they told me he's very even keel. And I think that's good to have. I mean, he's not going to get too high or too low, like I said.
And you mentioned that he's probably going to play the four. I was wondering, you know, would he be a three or a four? How would he fit into what Sacramento wants to do, and kind of what, you know, what we can expect to see from him? Like you said, he's probably starting right away.
Yeah, I think he's going to probably play 85 to probably 90% of his minutes at the four, just because of who the Kings have. They're still looking to add depth at the three. I know they signed one of the people that Mike Brown coached on the Nigerian national team. And so I think it's going to be interesting, because if a guy like Harrison Barnes does get traded, which is a possibility, and that's your starting three, if Barnes gets traded, then Keegan could play more minutes at the three. But I think the Kings really envision him at the four. And that's why I said he's going to start right away probably. And I don't see – there's not a better player that plays the four on the Sacramento Kings roster right now that's better than Keegan Murray that would start over him day one. So I think he has a chance to start right away. It's going to be an interesting lineup. I think you're going to probably have something like De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, and Sabonis on opening night if there's no other trades. But if Barnes gets traded, I could see him playing some more minutes of the three, like I said. But I really think he's going to play a majority of his minutes of the four, and that's where the Kings project him as.
Well, Cameron, I want to – you've mentioned Sabonis, because that's kind of part of it. That kind of ties into another thing here at Iowa, because he was a part of that Tyrese Haliburton trade that mm-hmm. sent Tyrese to Indiana. So far, what's been your take on that trade? I mean, were you surprised that the Kings let Tyrese Haliburton go, a guy that I think a lot of people felt that you could build around him even, that with the – you know, he was a lottery pick not that long ago either.
I was stunned when they made that trade. I was a person who said the Kings didn't make a blockbuster move. I mean, as media, I mean, we have to be objective, and we have to. I'm not going to be a fanboy for the Kings. I mean, I'm going to say how right. I feel and be objective. And honestly, at the second I heard the trade, I hated it, just because giving up a guy like Tyrese Haliburton, who really embraced Sacramento, who. I mean, had the chance to talk to him. He went to a Folsom football game, which is the best high school football team here in Sacramento. He went to the game and he hung out on the sidelines and he talked to fans and he signed autographs, and he really embraced the Sacramento community. And a lot of people just loved him and gravitated towards him. And so I think a lot of Kings fans were just upset that he was traded. They weren't upset that Sabonis was acquired, because Sabonis is a fantastic player. I loved him. Mm-hmm. I love watching him at Gonzaga and all the way up to Indiana. So it wasn't about training for Sabonis, because Sabonis is a terrific player. It just giving up a guy like Tyrese Haliburton, who just bought in from day one. He was Monty McNair's first draft pick when he was hired as GM. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people, I think, were stunned, because I mean, he was McNair's baby. I mean, he drafted him.
Right.
He was one of his first big moves. And Tyrese was the guy who fell to the Kings, and he was a projected top seven or top eight pick. Mm-hmm. And he fell all the way to 12. And so I think a lot of fans were excited. And then obviously you saw how De'Aaron and him played together. I mean, it wasn't the best. I mean, in Tyrese's last game as a kid, I think he had 16 assists. And so people saw the potential in him. And I think a lot of fans were upset initially, but it's really kind of worn off. And obviously now you have a season where you have a core three. And like I said, when I talked about on draft night about the Murray pick, I mean, I thought it was an underwhelming night at first, just because they traded their second round pick earlier in the day for an international player who's not coming over to Sacramento.
Right.
And then they traded the number 37 pick, who ended up being Jane Hardy, who was a guy who played in the G League, and he was a top 10 recruit coming out of high school. So I think Kings fans were upset, just because when you're a team who hasn't made the playoffs in 16 years, you swings at guys who have high upside and low risk, taking a guy at 37. So I think after the first week of free agency where the Kings signed Malik Monk and they trade for Kevin Herter, I think a lot of fans kind of said, okay, I can see the vision that McNair is heading in.
Right.
And then I think after they saw Murray play in summer league, and it kind of confirmed the doubts of was this a bad move? And I think the Kings have had a really good offseason. This is their best offseason, at least in my time being alive. I mean, I'm not super old. I'm only 22. The last time the Kings made the playoffs was when I was 6 years old. So this is the best offseason I can remember in Kings history. And that's a really good thing.
Well, Cameron Salerno, the writer for the Sacramento Bee, joining me right now here in the Real Sports Hour. My last question, Cameron, was going to be, with everything that the Kings have done with adding Murray, I mean, take it from a T-Wolves fan. I know exactly what you're feeling with the long playoff droughts. And I mean, I remember that the last time Sacramento did in the playoff series against the Timberwolves. But I mean, I know that as a guy who covers the Kings, I mean, do you feel like they have all the pieces with Murray included, that this is their time to maybe if it isn't this year, is it next year? I mean, do they have are they on the right trajectory to finally break that playoffs drought?
I mean, right now with making no other moves, I think the floor should be the play-in for this team. If they can make a move for, I don't know, I think their best bet is to get involved as a third team in some of these discussions, maybe for a guy in the Kevin Durant trade or the Donovan Mitchell trade, if those happen, because that's a easy way to acquire a pretty decent player while you're giving up like a Harrison Barnes or a Rashawn Holmes or even additional picks down the line. And so if they can make a move like that, then I think their floor would be the playoffs, not even just a play-in. But I think this is the year they break the drought. I know I've said that for the last few years, but I really think this is their best team on paper since they last made the playoffs in 2006. And it's pretty apparent. They have a good core now. I mean, when McNair took over, I mean, it was really dysfunctional. Even last season, I mean, you had guys like Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley, and then you had Luke Walton as a coach, and they fired Luke Walton a few games into the season.
Right.
And so you could tell there was some just dysfunction going on. But now, I mean, you have a clear vision with Mike Brown as your head coach. You have a established all-star in Sabonis, and you have a guy who is a fringe all-star in De'Aaron Fox. And then you add a guy like Keegan Murray, who's the most pro-ready player coming out of college in the draft. I mean, you have something you can work with. And so I think the floor should be the play-in for this group. I mean, I know Kings fans are going to be ecstatic when the drought finally ends. You're going to see a lot of grown people cry in the streets of Sacramento when the drought ends. So I think Kings fans should be really excited. I think Iowa fans should be excited too. And I just wanted to add real quick, I got a chance to talk to Keegan's high school coach for a story. And he was telling me about how when he was in high school, just his story, how he wasn't really a high recruit and how he dunked for the first time his senior year. And what was cool is he told me his first dunk was a one hand flush, and it was kind of the same dunk he had in the summer league and at Iowa. And I put those two videos together and they look similar. So he's really grown as a player. And I think Kings fans should just be ecstatic, because not only are they getting a really good player in Keegan Murray, but they're getting a really good person as well.
Absolutely. One thing I would say, Cameron, if the Kings do break it, do not hesitate and celebrate, because we T-Wolves fans took the heat for that, but we didn't really care because it's just, you want to try and say, you know, face 20 years of misery, you know, we're going to celebrate like it's 1999 basically. So if that happens, be sure to celebrate. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Cameron Salerno from the Sacramento Bee, really kind to join me here on the Real Sports Hour, talking Keegan Murray with the Kings drafting him. Cameron, hopefully we can have you on the program again sometime soon, maybe, and talk more about Keegan and what he'll do for the team over the next few seasons.
Definitely. Well, I'll talk to you when Keegan Murray wins Rookie of the Year and ends the season. So we'll talk then.
That's right. Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you.
I love